The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
The government urgently needs to change work visa requirements to increase Ireland's pool of planners. That's according to my next guest, who says that state bodies are sucking up planners like basking sharks. Tom Phillips, planning consultant and adjunct associate professor in University College Dublin, is with me now in studio. Tom, good morning.
Good morning, Pat.
How are planners created?
Not by God, but they're created by doing an undergraduate in UCD or an undergraduate in UCC in Cork in Ireland. And then they can do a master's degree in town planning in those two universities. Or they can come from another background that is, say, an arts degree or architecture or engineering or a lot of other degrees. Like, my own original degree was English and art history. And I have colleagues working with me who've fine art. Others are archaeologists, geographers, architects, civil engineers.
But the undergraduate courses, are they CAO courses and people can apply and just have the usual fees?
Yes, the regulars, like undergraduates in UCD, Limerick, all these different universities, TU Dublin. Actually, very good planners are people who do property economics in both countries. That's a very good route into it because they understand that it's commercial at the end of the day.
Now, if you're getting a master's, though, it's an expensive process.
It is very much so. And that's something, when I was a student 30-odd years ago, it was funded by the EU. But now students in UCD, where I lecture, are paying about 9,000 to 10,000 a year.
Irish students.
And then we've got a lot of Chinese students who are funded by the Chinese government. We have a lot of Indian students, some Americans who still find it cheaper to pay the very high fees in Ireland than to pay in America. And it's a real mixed bag. We have 35 students at the moment in the master's in UCD. And that has changed from being a 2 years master's to a 1 year's master's, like a longer academic session, because they found they couldn't get the students because they were paying so much to become planners.
You know,
it's quite a high fee.
And how well paid are they when they graduate?
Well, in local authorities, they'd be on, say, 36 is a starting salary, and it goes up to about 100 and something. And then the more senior planners in Bord Pinola, the board members, be under 130. The chairman's about 190. So they're well paid. And then the private sector, it's whatever the company can afford to pay them.
Yeah.
They tend to be paid better in the private sector.
Now, when you talk about government departments and local authorities and so on, sucking up planners like basking sharks, what did you mean?
Well, I kind of meant it slightly tongue-in-cheek, but I think I got the point across that I've been campaigning for some time to get planners onto the critical skills list, because the minister and others will say that we've got a housing crisis, we've got a crisis of this, that and the other, we need more planners, etc. And then in our office, we were looking around our office, we've had in the past Australians, we've had Canadians, we've had Americans, we've had Kiwis, and we've got Indian planners and various planners, and we can't get them at the moment unless we go through this torturous route to get them in, because the critical skills list has a heading about architecture, town planning, and then under the list of the jobs that are deemed to be critical are architects and architectural technicians.
But not planners.
And civil engineers can get in, but not planners.
You might explain to us what a planner does.
Okay, so planners, like, it's the easy way of saying it, is half, like, kind of quasi-architect, quasi-lawyer, without doing the skills of either. Like, so it's a blend. So our job was to get planning permission. So in the private sector, my job is to get planning permission for a building. So we're in this News Talk building, was granted planning permission by Dublin City Council. So somebody had to put forward a case, pull together the paperwork, and put forward the argument and work with the architects, the engineers.
So the architect will
draw it.
Will draw it, yeah, and have a concept for the building. Yeah. But then there are all sorts of rules and regulations which must be adhered to in that application to give it a shot at getting permission.
So we've got 31 planning authorities in Ireland, and each planning authority has got a development plan. So we've got the overarching national planning framework, then we've got three regional strategies, and then 31 planning authorities, each with their own development plan. And the development plan is like a Bible of what you can and can't do for the next 6 years. And each of those development plans has got zoning maps that explain what zones. Yeah. So a zone could be residential zone. Where we are in the News Talk at the moment, we're in Z5 in Dublin, which is a mixed use. So you can put a hotel, radio studios, apartments, whatever you like. It's the best zoning.
But then if you go into an area where you really shouldn't get planning, looking at the development plan, then you go to the board. And the board, which may or may not have really qualified people to adjudicate on your application.
In fairness to the board, so the board have got 145. They're called on Bord Pinola. They will be called on Comisiún Pleanála shortly. They've got 17 board members, and there's a quorum of three. So three board members can make a decision at any one time. And they are assisted by 145 or thereabouts planning inspectors who are all planners. So all the planners, all the reports that go into the Planning Appeals Board are all written or assessed by planners. And the planner's role is to make a recommendation to the board. And I've been watching...
Which is often overturned.
Well, not really. I've been watching since 1994, and it's an incredibly consistent statistic of 13%. So the board concur with the inspector in 87% of the time, and they disagree in 13% of the time. And that is across all different types of development. It's actually an incredibly consistent statistic.
But they're not required to explain why they overturned the inspectors. And some of these planners are not even qualified to read drawings.
Well, there was an issue last year where the board went down because of the roller coaster year, for want of a better phrase, that the board had, that a number of board members retired or didn't seek second stint. So they ended up having about five board members.
And they needed one of them narrowly avoided jail, as you know, Paul
indeed,
Hyde.
Yeah, Paul. Well,
he was convicted to jail, but he managed to get away with not being sent to jail.
In fairness to Paul, I think he did very good work. I'm not going to say about the things that he might be in trouble for, but he did a very strong output and good work ethic. And I felt that I read a lot of stuff. We were at the bad end sometimes, the other end sometimes, the good end, and I just thought he did good work. So in fairness to the guy. But the board members work very hard. Some of them are good friends of mine, were college friends of mine, but they do work hard because they've got a lot of pressure on them. They can't socialise with their friends from the past because you have to keep it at arm's length from people who might be in the development business. The point is that an inspector gets an appeal. So if somebody, Joe Bloggs or Jane Bloggs, appeals a scheme to the Planning Appeals Board, or the developer himself or herself appeal conditions they don't like, or they appeal refusal, then...
There'd be first-party appeals
or third-party appeals. Or a blend of both. But the role of the inspector is to assess that, to look at the site, visit the site, they must visit it, photograph it, look at the local authority decision, and then prepare a report and assess all the generic planning issues. So it could be height, distance, plot ratio, zoning, effect on neighbouring properties, the compatibility of the use with its neighbours, etc., etc., etc. And then they make a recommendation to the board, which the board can then either accept or deny, or they can amend. They can accept it and say, well, you wanted to grant three of the apartment blocks, we're going to grant two of them, or you wanted to refuse the third one, we'll have it. So there are cases. So, for example, the Aviva Stadium, for example, the inspector recommended refusal and the board granted it. So sometimes you think that was the right decision. Sometimes you think, I might personally think it's the wrong decision. But
that is the problem, isn't it? That the rules are not that clear because there is always this discretion.
The subjectivity, yeah.
And it could be like someone doesn't like rugby, or someone maybe lives too close to the Aviva. Maybe on the dark line, thinks it'll always be full when there's a match on.
Yeah, or sometimes, correct, yeah, people say that. And I grew up in Cluny, and I remember seeing a lady on TV one night who was complaining. She was the head of the Residents Association, complaining about houses being built in the field next to her house, which when I was a kid, where she lived was a field. So like people move in.
She was living in what was a field.
And then she said, well, no one else is going to live in the field next to me. Yeah. And that is an issue that people don't like.
Now,
change.
The question of the number of planners that we need and the number of planners we have in the jurisdiction.
Okay, so we've got the president, Gavin Lawler, of the Planning Institute said there's 1,000 planners in the Irish Planning Institute. There's 250 in the Royal Town Planning Institute, which is because it predates the state.
Yeah.
And most of those, I'm a member of both. Most people are a member of both.
Yeah.
Of the 250 are a member of both. So 1,000 in the Planning Institute, there's approximately 500 additional planners.
Okay, so 1,500.
1,500. Now, New Zealand, which is an equivalent size population, has got 2,000 planners. North America, something like 45,000, etc. So my argument is that I saw Sinn Féin recently said they're going to create jobs for 500 new planners, but they don't exist. Those people don't exist. And I've been lecturing for 30-something years, and the problem was, during the recession, that nobody was encouraging their child to do anything to do with architecture, town planning, engineering, etc. So it's a missing cohort.
Now, how difficult is it for someone from a different jurisdiction, if they get the visa because they're a qualified planner, if that was permitted under critical skills thing. How quickly can they get up to speed with Irish planning? And we're going to have a new planning law that's hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of pages long.
That's nuts. It's actually just a good one. The planning system is 60 years old on the 1st of October this year. And 60 years ago, it had like X number of sections. And the new Act has 6X. So it's six times as many sections in the new Act as there was 60 years ago. But how quick, we've got one of our best associates. Lizzie came from London, worked only in London, and fitted in a matter of weeks. They can adapt for very quickly. When I qualified, I went straight to London because I couldn't get a job in Ireland. So Irish planners, British planners can work very quickly on it. And the same with the Australians, the Americans, the Canadians. They can learn very quickly.
Now, one of the complaints you have, I suppose, is that government departments and, if you like, all government agencies can offer people permanent pensionable jobs.
Correct.
And so on.
Yeah.
So it's kind of past the parcel. Someone's working for one agency and they spot an ad mm-hmm. in another department, yeah. better pay, off they go. And
yeah, some of my colleagues were a bit upset because I'd made this basking shark reference, because the LDA, the Land Development Agency, are one of our best clients. I didn't want to insult them, but I was just making the point that some of my colleagues who've gone to work in the LDA, that I can't, as in the private sector, I can't offer them pensionable. I can do pensionable, but I can't do permanent. I can't guarantee them in a recession that we can employ them,
yeah.
or they can move there. And then what's happened is Dublin City Council is down 30% of its requirement for planners. And that's planners and admin staff. They can get neither the planners nor the admin staff. Mm-hmm. And then a lot of younger planners are just bouncing from local authority to local authority. And they're right to do so, to improve their career. But I was talking to a planner yesterday who said in his local authority, they had, in the space of 4 or 5 years, they had a complete sweep out of all the planners who were there when he started, were gone when he finished. And then all the planners, he's only out there 3 years.
So there's no institutional knowledge at all.
Yeah, it's the culture. You're losing the culture of the village. So if you work in Laois and you know Laois like the back of your hand, and then you move to Cavan, you've got to know where Bailieborough is as opposed to somewhere in Laois.
The question of the visas then, it would be a stroke of a pen.
What frustrates me is I've made the point at a Planning Institute conference a few months ago, and the department was saying, don't worry, we're looking into it. I was speaking at a conference this week with the CIF, and the department said, a lady there said, well, we're looking into it. So how long does it take? Like, we've got an excellent planner, a Canadian girl in the office, or lady in the office, and it took us 6 months to get her into the country. And we had to put ads in the paper. Like, we were remained within the law, but we had to put ads in the paper and all this kind of stupid rules.
Yeah. Now, Tom, on this programme, we've been going on and on with the minister and with others about having a rules-based system. Instead of 800 pages of planning law, that you have a development plan and you have rules, and you know as a planner, if I conform with those rules, bingo, I have permission.
Yeah.
What is wrong with that system? Because the minister has turned his face against it.
Well, Tony Reddy, the architect with whom you should speak, has done a lot of good work about 3D planning and about the need to put plan in, to use modern planning, to show, as they do in Europe, that you put it, there's actually a physical model in the planning authority. And as long as you stick within those parameters, you get permission. But the problem in Ireland is that we treat planning, which is a lot of it is objective, but a lot of it is also subjective. And the subjectivity that comes down to it, that sometimes when you see a decision that you don't like from the board, you say, I bet X did that report, because you can actually guess whether someone is inherently pro-development or anti-development. Yeah. And the chairman years ago, 1997, Paddy O'Duffy, who was chairman of the board, wrote a very good piece, a bit along the lines of doctors differ and patients die, saying that among planners and inspectors, you're going to have people who've got different approaches and different views. Yeah. Some people might hate apartments, other people have lived in them and love them. So it's the subjectivity is the problem sometimes.
So we need to eliminate that.
Well, you can't eliminate
No, but rules-based system, if it conforms, if the lift shaft is where it should be, if the height
is right. And I say that's great, but the problem is now that development plans are going to have a 10-year lifespan, so you might be locked into a 10-year bit. So occasionally developers, they do like flexibility. I suppose it's the truth. People like hard and fast rules when it suits them, and when it doesn't suit them, they like flexibility.
Because my point is that residents' associations would know. If the rules are the rules are the rules, they know. The architect knows.
Yeah,
the developer knows. The local council knows. And if everyone knows the rules and knows they will be adhered to, then planning will speed up.
It should be, but there's 27 countries in the EU, and we all are part of have been subject to the Our House Convention, which was done many years ago, this convention that we all signed up to. But Ireland is the most stringent adaptation of that rule, adaptation of it. And for €20, people can object to schemes, and people do. And I was lecturing some American students, and they were amazed that somebody for €20 who lives in
Tralee.
Mizenhead can object something in Malinhead. That's the way it is.
Tom, thank you very much for coming in. That's Tom Phillips, planning consultant and adjunct associate professor at University College Dublin.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.